Hey, Foot Clan, before we start today's show, I want to introduce you to a new sponsor. Well, new to you, not to me. Zicam Nasal All Clear. Listen, this keeps your nose clean, clear, and healthy as part of your daily routine, and it's different because it's easy to use and it's convenient for on the go. Look, we've all dealt with this, but Zicam, this nasal all clear, the swabs, they deliver the triple acting benefit of protecting, cleansing, and soothing your nasal passages. Al, we all need to soothe our nasal passages. This is a drug-free, non-saline-based moisturizing formula, and I like to say I swab it out in the morning. Just swab it out. Just swab it out. Look, it literally allows you to swab it out. I wake up with the dryness due to congestion, and Zicam's nasal all clear just swabs it right out. Just swabs it out. And like I said, easy to use, convenient for on the go. It's a drug-free, non-saline-based moisturizing formula, and you can swab it out with Zicam's Nasal All Clear. It's available on Amazon. Search for Zicam Nasal All Clear. That's A-L-L-C-L-E-A-R.
Hey, this is Jonathan Taylor, running back for the Indianapolis Colts, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Ah, welcome in. Tuesday, January 5th. Andy, Mike, and Jason, the Fantasy Footballers, back with you.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Oh, we did it, guys. We did it. We made it through all of 2020. We made it through 17 weeks of football.
It is pretty wild.
16 and a half weeks of football. That was a half week of football this last week.
Oh, okay. You're disparaging week 17.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to do.
Well, no, that's pretty on brand. But
the football is still good.
Some of it, yeah. That's I give maybe 16 3/4.
Oh, how greedy we got after this. Will the season start?
I'm talking about Jalen Hurts getting.
Okay, so one game, and you're taking away 25% of the week?
Yeah, well, it wasn't one game. I mean, where did you guys weigh in with that controversy, by the way? Because as far as I'm concerned, you know, it wasn't anything different than several other teams did this week. So I don't hold it against Philadelphia.
I think it was very, very stupid in terms of you are evaluating Jalen Hurts. You don't need to be evaluating if Zach Sudfeld is going to be your quarterback 3. When it's May, your problem will not be, man, I wish we knew who our third stringer was. Your problem will be, we need to know who the starting quarterback for this team is. Can we trade Carson Wentz if we need to? Is Wentz still going to be the guy? Hurts was awful. So I don't care that they made the transition in quarterback of in terms of winning or losing the game. That didn't matter to the Philadelphia Eagles, their record. But not evaluating Hurts more, I think, was a very, very strange decision.
Yeah, I agree completely. It was preposterous, is how I'll say it.
He didn't establish his future with the 7-for-20 for 73-yard performance or whatever the case it was. Yeah, it was nuts. I mean, there was a lot of, big fantasy games that didn't matter for people and some that really did. And, you know, obviously congratulations to everybody who managed to survive the Week 17 madness and get your Darwin Thompson Foot Clan title. That's what... All trophies are required to be named the Darwin Thompson Foot Clan title if you win it in Week 17. But, no, we've got a fun show today. We will talk through some of the performances and probably with a little bit of a bend towards 2021 and whether any of the performances this weekend, you know, make us excited about certain players moving forward. We have the footy nominations on the show today.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
So that we're going to go through all of those, which is fun too, because we see who won these awards last year, and just knowing how somewhat long this year felt, it will probably seem insane, some of those names. But I'm excited. We've got a lot going on. You guys have a good weekend?
I did. It was great to have a – I love fantasy football. I like that feeling inside of the you're nervous, you're celebrating, you're upset. But then to have that 1 week a year where you're watching and I have nothing on the line because I didn't set any DFS lineups. I'm just – I mean, there's the advice for the week 17 people, of course, but it's just – it's nice to watch and go, ah, and just –
like, it was for the first time
part of my couch.
Yeah, it was casual football watching for the first time this year, which is fun.
Yeah, yeah. Now we get the NFL playoffs. Not with the Cardinals, of course, but with like 14 other teams.
It's for the best, man.
Oh gosh, that was so painful.
If you can't beat a backup quarterback, you don't deserve to be in.
I think the Cardinals went 1-4 against backup quarterbacks this year, or something, something ridiculous like that. Good coaching. Oh, by the way, fire Cliff Kingsbury.
just right on blast.
All right.
Yeah, my Halloween costume. Fire it. Just get rid of it. You can follow the show. We are a year-round show. We've got episodes coming out 2 times a week right now. 3 times a week if you support the show over at jointhefoot.com. We got a very fun mailbag show we do every week called The Footcast. You can learn about that at jointhefoot.com. Instagram.com/fantasyfootballers. You can follow us there, Twitter at the FF Ballers, and on YouTube, youtube.com/thefantasyfootballers. The Footy Award winners, the ceremony, will take place on Thursday, along with a very important buy-sell and a taking it to 100 trophy ceremony for one of us. I won't say who, but
I know who.
It was not Mike or Jason.
Adam Gase had one final present for me in week 17, and that was a Josh
Number
Adams.
Two.
Thank you. And that was a Josh Adams goal line carry.
That's right. And we have some other fun
for
episodes.
For some reason.
Coming up, top 24 players episode coming up, a footballer's AMA, and then we'll be getting into all of the truth episodes, which are really, really fun. Jason was talking about them last week, where we get a chance to break down the reality of the season, not just looking at the final numbers of this player finished at this spot on the rankings, but looking deeper as to what kind of consistency do players provide? Were they a benefit to starting in your actual lineup, or did they hurt your team? Mm-hmm. So that will be a lot of fun. Let's get into the rewind.
Weekly Rewind.
All right. Ahead of week 17, we saw the very exciting, fun final wrinkle to the season. Alvin Kamara and all the running backs were placed on the COVID list. They have a chance to clear before the wild card game, so we will see what happens. That game is against the Bears on Sunday afternoon, and maybe they'll have some running backs.
Ty Montgomery to the rescue. He had over 100 rushing yards. Yeah.
Big Ty Montgomery fan, Jason Moore.
He is
guilty as charged.
That's the new COVID strategy, is actually just tuck away like different position players at different positions, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have like Logan Thomas could have been their quarterback, right?
Exactly. Put one of your running backs with the wide receiver groups and vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about some injury news briefly. Mike Evans had a scary looking hyperextension.
Yeah.
It ended up being no ligament damage for Mike Evans. So are we expecting him back out there for the playoff game?
I'm not.
Not a doctor, but I'm not expecting him this week.
All right.
That looked like a – I mean, I'm super happy he had no ligament damage, but I would be surprised if he's more than a decoy.
T. Higgins was ruled out very early, left with a hamstring injury, which was unfortunate. Darnell Mooney left, for those of you paying attention to the playoffs. Mooney suffered an ankle injury, so we'll see if he's back out there. And then for the Rams, who snuck into the playoffs by the Chris Streveler Cardinals, has not yet been ruled out of the game against the Seahawks, but Ian Rappaport thinks it will be very challenging for him to overcome the thumb surgery and the cold weather.
What? It's difficult to overcome throwing a football with a broken thumb?
You know what's funny is I learned very quickly that a very, very broken Kyler Murray was better than the backup. So we'll see. I saw Jared Goff throwing the football. But, you know, before the game.
Yeah,
so.
But Jared Goff can't run like the Wolfman.
I know.
But the Rams aren't playing the Cardinals anymore, so they might need a quarterback to win against Russell Wilson.
I don't know. Wolfman looked like he was willing to give everything for that victory.
Oh, dude, he could have been knocked out five times in that game, and I don't know how it didn't happen. All right, in very, very exciting news, the kind of news that is just perfect for the Fantasy Footballers podcast, Jason, the Bills have officially signed Kenny Stills. Therefore,
AKA.
He is actually Kenny Bills. I'm guessing the money level of this signing was actually quite small, but he is officially Kenny Bills, y'all.
And sometimes things just work out for the benefit of the brand, and Kenny Bills being an official Buffalo Bill is incredible.
Yeah, that's spectacular. All right. It's a sad day here at the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. We have to say goodbye to a source of tremendous comedy.
It's so hard.
The Jets, keep going, Mike. Goodbye. Have fired Adam Gase. Mm.
Number two.
Oh, they flushed away Adam Gase after a terrible, terrible season in which they will end up with the number two overall pick.
He's going to live in the ocean.
Oh, my goodness. Doug Marrone also fired. Anthony Lynn also fired.
Yep.
Anthony Lynn is a very interesting firing because they obviously, you know, had four games in a row to finish the season strong with come from behind victories, and you could make a very good argument that he deserves to keep that job. But I think the argument against him is the fact that any coach, like, they have the pick of the coach, because if I was a coach and you're like, well, would you like to go, you know, try to resurrect Sam Darnold, or, you know, a new rookie, or would you like to take on Justin Herbert on a rookie deal and have you know, Bosa and Derwin James and on defense, a number one wide receiver, a good running back? Like, that team is set up to win now and over the next like 5 years. That's a great spot.
I actually think all three of the jobs are pretty interesting, because Jacksonville has obviously their position to have a franchise quarterback at the top of the draft. You know, the New York Jets job is doesn't seem alluring, but they have the number two pick, and it's New York, and people like that. The negative for the Chargers isn't the personnel. It's the division and having to potentially compete with Kansas City every year. So it's going to be very interesting to see what candidates come forward, whether or not, where Eric Bieniemy ends up and some of these other coaching candidates. Kellen Moore got an extension with the Cowboys. He was apparently investigating that Boise State job, and they said, no, we want to keep you. So he's got a multi-year extension. That's good for fantasy players, some stability at the offense, the play calls, what Dak was doing, if Dak comes back. That's good news for fantasy players.
Yeah, Dallas was – I mean, it feels like forever ago, but that Dallas offense when Dak was there was dominant.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach Taylor coming back for Cincinnati, and that seems to make sense to me.
It's surprising to me. I thought he would be the one. I thought he would go too.
I mean, they've been playing better, and they lost their starting quarterback. So
yeah, I was gonna say they started looking, I don't know, promising, and then when Burrow, your number one pick, goes down, your main running back Joe Mixon goes down. It's like, what can you do eventually?
You try to win with Ryan Finley, Mike.
Oh,
give it a shot.
No problem.
All right. Every year we do the NFL playoff challenge,
yes,
which you can participate with us at footclanchallenge.com. Footclanchallenge.com, it's completely free. It is essentially you just pick a roster of players, and it's actually been simplified now that there's only one bye week for each of the conferences. But essentially, you pick a roster of players that you think will make it the farthest in the playoffs, and it's always been fun to compete with the Foot Clan.
Yeah, you get a multiplier if you've got the same player. So, like, if you pick Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, you don't get anything week one because he's on bye. But in week two, because he was in your lineup both weeks, you get a two times multiplier, and then three times, four times. So you want to pick guys that you think are going to last deep into the playoffs.
And speaking of the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Thank you. Let's go ahead and go with our final Super Bowl predictions here. We filled out the brackets. Are we going to get into that, Brooks? Is that cool with you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a pick? Do you have a Super Bowl pick?
Nope.
Well, okay.
Sweet.
Way to play along. Thanks, Brooks.
I wasn't ready for that.
Well, yeah, you know who's in the playoffs, Brooks. You could have gone chalk there.
I'll pick the Chiefs.
All right, there you go. That's the way to do it. All right, I'm going to stick with the start of the season prediction. When I was looking at the brackets and the reseeding and who I think is going to win, I ended up with the hottest team in football that managed to beat the tar out of a fighting for their playoff lives Miami Dolphins team this past weekend with almost nothing on the line. I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills, who I had before the season, and I'm going to take them over the Bucks, Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, who I had before the season as well. So, Buffalo, congratulations on your impending title.
I am mostly sticking to my preseason pick as well. I had Baltimore winning over the New Orleans Saints preseason, but now that everything's going through Lambeau, I do have the Saints and the Packers playing in the NFC title game, but Drew Brees is a home dome guy. Go play in the Arctic tundra against Aaron Rodgers, and I give Aaron Rodgers the edge. So I have Lamar Jackson and the all of a sudden hot offense of the Baltimore Ravens beating the Green Bay Packers.
And I filled out the bracket, and I had originally had the Kansas City Chiefs versus Green Bay in there and very chalky, but then realizing my preseason prediction is still alive, so I'm just going to stick with that because that's the hero call. So I have the Steelers dragging their carcasses through the playoffs, managing to squeak through, taking on the Saints in the Super Bowl, and Big Ben gets the Super Bowl. And if, honestly, it'll be very interesting because if you have the Steelers versus New Orleans, it's almost certainly the last game for Drew Brees. If Big Ben wins a title this year, what are the chances of him calling it quits as well?
I don't know, but that would be a fun old man bowl.
Yeah. All three of those would be pretty fun Super Bowls. Josh Allen against Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson against Brees, or Brees versus Big Ben. So, all right. And don't forget Brooks' pick. He went Chiefs. That's it.
Yes.
They're not playing anybody. And, of course, you know, Al Borland's going to go Packers over somebody.
Over Brooks' Chiefs.
Yeah, there you go.
Before we get into the studs and the stinkers, want to thank today's sponsor, Manscaped. Happy 2021, everybody. Look, maybe it's new year. You make those new resolutions, and maybe you want to take care of yourself a little bit more. People always want fitness in the new year. Well, do not forget about your personal hygiene as well. Manscaped has the best body trimmer on the market, and they offer you the perfect package 3.0. It includes tons of really cool stuff, including the Lawnmower 3.0, which, like I said, it is the best body trimmer on the market. It's waterproof. It's got a skin-safe trimmer. Helps reduce nicks and all those things and sensitive areas that you just don't want to deal with. And look, they now have a cologne. Manscaped is always – they're adding new stuff all the time, man. You got to go check them out. In that perfect package 3.0, they got the Shed travel bag there. Bunch of things that, you know, you keep it all together. You got to have a bag. So bring things back in 2021. Get that personal hygiene going. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code footballers at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code footballers.
Absolutely. Keeping it fresh. And let's thank today's sponsor, HelloFresh. You've heard us talk about them before. You can warm up this winter with fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered straight to your door, contact-free. Skip the trip to the grocery store and enjoy high-quality veggies and proteins. And then, Mike, you can turn those New Year's resolutions into New Year's realities.
That's right. My abs are coming right up.
You put it in order for some abs in 2021.
I'd prefer 8, but I will take 6.
4 is your best bet there. It's not only 46% cheaper to go with HelloFresh than shopping at your local grocery store, but like I said, then you avoid the actual shopping, and that part isn't. Look, it's hard enough to try to stick with a resolution, right? To not take away the part where you have to like measure and plan and buy and cook.
Think.
Yes, thinking is overrated. But you can welcome the new year with some new flavors from HelloFresh as well. They offer 23 weekly recipes with a range of cuisines and ingredients. There is always something new to try. Go to HelloFresh.com/10footballers and use the code 10footballers for 10 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/10footballers and use the code 10footballers for 10 free meals. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
This week's Fantasy Stud Muffins.
Oh, week 17. That's when we needed you, Tyler Lockett. Week 17, dear friend. Now, we will talk through, we'll start at the quarterback position. And Cam Newton decided to
kind of... Do we have that
of,
drop? Do we still?
Yes.
That might be the last time you get to hit it.
Yep, that might be the final time we get to push that button.
He
I
said,
don't know.
Yeah. All right, maybe not, maybe not.
I'll bet we hit it when he retires.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
But this is the. I think this might be the last time we push it in celebration of Cam Newton producing.
Yes, and he did produce 21 for 30, three touchdowns, had 79 yards rushing, had
and
a passing, receiving touchdown.
He caught
touchdown.
A touchdown.
Now, what's funny about this is, I mean, it was the Jets. It was to end the year. It wasn't helping your fantasy team. And when asked about whether he would accept a backup job, he said it's too soon to tell. So we'll see what the offers are going to be because it doesn't seem like he's a starter in the National Football League anymore. If Bill Belichick can't get more out of him than that.
I agree.
Kirk Cousins,
oh,
Ryan
baby.
Tannehill.
Starts
oh, yeah.
of the week?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins had 405 and three and a rushing touchdown.
400 yards.
Yeah.
Three passing touchdowns, man. Good for you, Kirk.
You know, sometimes you think you see what's going to happen without Dalvin Cook, and you're like, okay, he's going to have to bear the load, and you just don't know if it'll turn out that way, especially with a stubborn head coach that likes to run the football. But, yeah, it turned out that way. Detroit was very giving.
It turned out that way. It also turned out that Alexander Mattison was eating hamburgers all over the field as well.
But Tannehill had a big game. Justin Herbert, Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, efficient as ever, I think, securing that he's the MVP of football.
He is the MVP. You can't, with that week 17, the last couple weeks where Pat Mahomes didn't really do much special, and Aaron Rodgers absolutely won in the last 2 weeks.
Aaron Rodgers has how many touchdowns now? I know it's a career high.
I think it was 45. Oh, is it more than that?
I don't know. I'll double
oh, yeah, he had 44 going into that week, so.
Yeah, I think he's up to 48.
With five picks,
yep,
if I'm 48. Remembering right?
Yes, 48.
Yeah, 48 touchdowns, and five interceptions.
You're going to win games when you can do that.
I mean, that was a mic and a completion percentage of 71%, which is a career high, on 526 passes. It was it was like a Michael Jordan season for him, where he's like, oh, you're going to talk about somebody else, huh? Watch this. Yeah, pretty impressive. It'll be very interesting to see what people believe about him for fantasy next year.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting because if he's drafted as a top option again, I probably won't be in. But then if he drops, you know, and he's like the quarterback 5 or 6, he's spent most of his career being number 1 or number 2 quarterback. So
So we'll talk about him in the footy nominations coming up as well. He's nominated for a couple of awards this season. Deshaun Watson got that almost upset going this week.
Yes, he did.
It was almost like the first game, too, where it seemed like Tennessee was going to blow him out, and all of a sudden, there they are again. Deshaun Watson is such a competitor. He is such a good player.
I love watching him play. I don't know what quarterback in the league I would prefer to watch play. Obviously, Mahomes is great, but there's something about Watson where he always has the team on his back because everything's going wrong around him at all times, but he just is still fighting.
It's the Houston
forward.
Effect.
Yeah.
It's the Bill O'Brien plan.
Lamar Jackson didn't do a whole lot through the air. 113 passing yards. There's that small pie. But he did throw three touchdowns and run for 97 yards. So Lamar doing Lamar things.
Yeah, he's really got his groove back the last couple of weeks.
Speaking of getting your groove back and maybe better than ever, Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, man.
30 for 253 and 2.
Woo.
We knew it would be good against Jacksonville. I don't think we knew it would be this good.
No.
Ended the year as the RB6 after being underutilized for the first half of the season.
His final five games of the season. So he missed week 12. Then those final five games, he was a top 15 option each time, and he was top 7 in 4 out of 5. I mean, unbelievable to finish.
If you give a guy with those physical traits the ball a ton, he will produce, especially late in the season. When, I mean, it's very similar to Derrick Henry. You've got a humongous human who can run fast and knock you over late in the year. It's cold and people are tired. And there's two running backs that went for 250 this week. They're both big, strong, super athletes.
Yeah, it's a pretty incredible ascent for him. And he just played a lot better. He figured this offense out.
Yes.
I mean, they definitely gave him opportunities in the first half of the year, and he was sitting at, 3.8 a carry during that span, and he's been 6.2 over the back half of the year and figured the offense out, and they've trusted him more, which, like Jason said, with Derrick Henry, you got to give that guy the ball a lot. And, this is going to be a first-round pick. This is somebody who I traded at the deadline in a bigger trade in our league of record, thinking, well, there's no way I'm going to really want to keep Jonathan Taylor next year, not knowing who the quarterback is. At this point in time, I regret that.
That makes sense because of what he's been doing, which is dominating.
Derrick Henry, 34 carries, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, hit 2,000 yards.
That is such an insane number.
Are there any arguments left to try to diminish his top of draft stock at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same argument it always has been. He's not involved in the passing game the way that some of the other top backs are. And, that puts – but the thing is, it's not like there's 10 really involved workhorse backs that are involved in the passing game. There's like 3 or 4, in which case – then comes Derrick Henry to me.
Well, and there were, I think maybe the lesson there for fantasy players heading into next year is, Christian McCaffrey, we know, right? Like, that's a proven commodity. But players like Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year, or Miles Sanders this year, or Josh Jacobs this year, or Joe Mixon this year, who had the allure of being a CMC type of player but hadn't done it before, those might be the players you don't want to take the leap on ahead of a Derrick Henry. With this kind of, do we doubt that Tennessee is going to be a competitive team for a while here? I mean, to me, they kind of have the recipe for success figured out and a head coach that knows how to get it done.
Yeah, I was going to say, not with Vrabel. With Vrabel there, they're going to be a great team, and you've got back-to-back top 3 fantasy finishes for Derrick Henry. He should absolutely be in the conversation. I it's one of those things where he finished number 2, so you can argue – he finished number 3 last year, 2 this year. He should be there. But the injuries, if Saquon and Christian McCaffrey, those types stayed healthy.
Let's talk about this for a second. Saquon Barkley. Are you taking Saquon Barkley after injury on that team with that situation ahead of Derrick Henry? And my gut right now says I'm not.
So that's a great example, because my initial thought is, yeah, I would take Saquon. He's one of those very few guys who's a workhorse. But I think the question marks that you're bringing up and talking about, that there is not a question with Derrick Henry in the slightest at all. You know what he's going to do, which is get the ball 30 times a game if possible and stiff arm people into oblivion
and won't get hurt.
Right. I mean, he's built to last. So, not a sponsor, Duralast. I think I might take him over Saquon because of the injury.
Just it will be very interesting.
The safety. I mean, like, you have.
Reminds me of Marshawn in Seattle for those running years where you knew the workload.
Yeah, you do have 3 games this year where Henry was RB36 or worse. So I think that's like the difference to me why he's not there with Dalvin and McCaffrey.
He's fun to have on your roster just from an intimidation standpoint. Mike had a monstrous, unbeatable lead in his championship game, yet wasn't comfortable because he knew that Derrick Henry was across on the other team.
Look what he did. Against Houston. Like, he could have done that against Green Bay, and it would have been terrible.
His last 3 games against Houston, 211, 212, and 250 rushing yards. Those the Houston defenders in that locker room must be terrified of this man.
Yeah, but it's not like he gets to play Houston every twice a year. Okay, fantastic.
Alexander Mattison had a nice game in a week where he didn't matter. 21 for 95 and one touchdown against Detroit.
It's so obnoxious.
It is.
Because I was firmly entrenched on team. If you draft Dalvin Cook because of his injury history and what I believe that Alexander Mattison can do, that I would everywhere I took Cook, I took Mattison if I could. And we had one game where I got to use Mattison and he was terrible.
Yeah.
And then he does this and I'm right back in, baby.
Darwin Thompson had, well, it's Detroit. Let Detroit wash over you.
All right.
Just let it wash over you. Darwin Thompson had two touchdowns, 65 receiving yards, another 45 rushing yards. He got the majority of the work for Kansas City. David Montgomery ended the year with a bang, another touchdown, 9 targets, 9 catches. Another interesting name for next year is going to be David Montgomery, because if all of the ancillary pieces in Chicago stay the same, you know, it's what Tariq do you Cohen. Do with him?
Yeah, everything to me on David Montgomery comes down to Tariq Cohen, because as soon as Tariq Cohen tore his, I think he had the ACL tear, if I'm remembering. Yeah, he tore his right ACL at the end of September, and after that, that's when the Montgomery targets went to a true workhorse level. So, I still like Montgomery, but if Cohen is back and back to commanding his target share, that is going to be a huge negative for Montgomery.
Cohen sucks. he's just not the player he was years ago. I'm not saying you're wrong. If the team just decides to give him all that work, that will be annoying. That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
Because it's not like I should expect anything less from the Cordero Patterson, Matt Nagy, but at least at the end of this year, he's gotten to prove himself and get a lot of confidence. He finishes the RB4. He finished the year with finishes of 7-1, 7-1, 9-6.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And played a massive role in getting them back into the playoffs. So I do agree that coming into next year, I'm going to be high on David Montgomery and assume that they know what they can get in him if they utilize him as a three-down back. But Tariq Cohen will siphon some targets.
All right, let's talk about some wideouts. Oh, gosh, this was obnoxious, too. Marvin Jones did every single thing I expected for last week, except for Stafford was out last week. This week, 8 for 180 and 2, and he had a touchdown stolen from him. Just straight stolen from him by the referees in a nonsensical.
Those refs, man. The
they
refs
were awful.
In the Detroit-Minnesota game.
Oh, that sack on Kirk Cousins that was like, roughing the passer. What'd he do? He just made a perfect tackle.
I'm not saying they had money on the game, but I'm not saying they had money on the game.
So Marvin Jones went insane, and had the touchdown not been taken away, he would have finished as the wide receiver 13. Still had a monster year. Not under contract, correct?
Correct.
So him and Kenny Golladay not under contract. Who knows what that receiving core will look like next year. Marvin Jones can still play football, though.
Marvin Jones, really interesting free agent. Because he's not of the age that you have to that he will command a wide receiver one contract. He could end up on a championship
Packers.
Contender. Yeah, he could end up on the Packers.
You go to the Packers and you upgrade from MVS to a known commodity vet who can get open deep down the field and actually catch the ball reliably. I know MVS caught a nice touchdown this last week, but that would be awesome.
Marvin Jones had 4 top 10 weeks in the last 8 weeks of the season. And one of those weeks can be thrown out to Chase Daniels. So it was a crazy finish for him. Brandon Cooks had another monstrous week. The lack of Will Fuller has proven to make Brandon Cooks one of the best wide receivers in football recently. Finished the year at number 7 and number 1.
The number 1 option for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
Let me ask you this question as we head into the offseason. I believe they bring Will Fuller back to Houston. Do you believe they bring him back or no?
I think they will try to bring him back, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know their cap situation. I don't think it's fantastic.
I mean, they could franchise him.
Do you remember the status of Brandon Cook's salary or his contract status?
I can go check it out. But the interesting thing, Jason, about franchising Will Fuller is you have how many? You have a couple games left on his suspension, right?
Yeah, you right. should have. Yeah.
But yeah, so I'll pull up the
Cooks is under contract, by the way. He's under contract for quite a while, actually.
Yeah.
He's not an unrestricted free agent until 2024. So maybe the demand for Fuller will exceed their willingness to pay.
Yeah, could.
14 targets, 138 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns for Antonio Brown. Mike Evans, if he's not able to play, it will be Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin in the playoffs.
Yeah, Godwin himself had 133-2. They both had monster games without Mike Evans. It's almost a shame that Antonio Brown showed up here, because you could see what happens when there's only two great wide receivers in this right. offense, and it just made so much unreliability. But it'll be interesting to see what they do next year as well.
Sterling Shepard, 2 touchdowns, 8 for 112.
He took it to 100.
Yes, sir. Tyler Lockett, 12 for 90-2.
There he is. You're talking about the actual wide receiver 13 on the season, Andy?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, take that,
Marvin
Jones.
Can't wait for the truth episodes.
Yeah, I don't want to see where he ranks in inconsistency. What was surprising, though, to me...
5 times that you would have wanted to start Tyler Lockett on the air. 5 yeah, times out of 16 weeks.
As the wide receiver 13. But Mike pointed out, you know, kind of the numbers between both DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and how they came about. And it wasn't that great. It wasn't that great for DK Metcalf either. DK Metcalf felt good because he was more consistent early on, but man, with Russell in the second half of the year, he's someone that's really interesting to me, DK Metcalf, going into next year, because the first half dominance, I think, is going to push him up to being like a, you know, wide receiver 6, 7. He's going to be pushing that top 5 group.
He could be a top 5 draft pick, yeah. top 5 wide receiver.
And I don't know that I want to rely on that.
Well, and that's part of the truth episodes too, is Metcalf made such a mark at a crucial juncture of the season that imprint is heavy. Yes. By the way, I have Tyler Lockett as the wide receiver 9 on the year. That's the numbers that I have.
Oh, even
so,
better.
5 games in which he finished inside the top 30 on the year. 5. And yet was the wide receiver 9, which is insane. That offense is... We thought maybe we were moving past the point where it was so difficult to project and predict that Seattle offense, and we weren't. And we may never do that.
Oh,
all right.
Man. I can't wait for another offseason of let Russ cook.
Oh, gosh. A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, 10 for 151 and 1. That's a good game. Also won the game with a incredible late catch. Jerry Jeudy, 5 for 140 and 1. 92-yard score certainly helped.
Yeah.
It was a cool play, though.
Yeah, wait. He had 140 yards and he had a 92-yard touchdown?
Yeah.
All right.
Laviska Shenault had a couple touchdowns as well. He'll be interesting for next year. He's actually somebody I've been, no longer secretly, targeting in dynasty leagues is Laviska Shenault. I feel like the value right now in a trade is below what the real value is. Because of kind of
Trevor Lawrence.
Well, Trevor Lawrence coming in, you're saying what will help, yeah.
Yeah.
But just Shenault is not somebody that has the same level of hype as Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb or even Jerry Jeudy. So I think Shenault is a very valuable future asset in dynasty leagues.
And he's not on this list, but shout out, because it's just fun, shout out to Hollywood Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Who has now scored in 5 of his last 6 games, including a game of 5 for 41 with 2 scores against Cincinnati.
Yeah, I don't think he finished outside the top 36 wide receivers over the last 6 weeks.
That is correct.
Great. Thanks.
If he scores every week, you are going to be fine with Hollywood.
Yeah, he finished with 8 touchdowns. That's really not too shabby.
Averaged 69 receiving yards per game and 109 target pace from week 12 on.
It's really funny that if you just reverse it, and to start the season, he got all those touchdowns in a row and was involved, and he was hot, and we talked him up. And then he did the finished the year with the exact number of good games and bad games. We'd look at him as a good option that the offense started to stink. And instead, you know, it's like he's dead to me. And I'm.
Oh no!
Yeah, Hollywood's dead to me.
Let's make it more comfortable and easy to dissect and just look at the season. I mean, 58 receptions for 769 yards,
right,
and 8 touchdowns. I think that's the best way to look at it. Is if you intersperse these last few games, you dropped a few touchdowns in there earlier. You see a Lamar Jackson sized passing pie that ends up with 769 passing yards.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we'll see what they do in the offseason as well.
But that once he was. I mean, it does feel like something happened in week 12. There was I don't know if he squeaky wheeled again at practice or whatever, but from week 12 through the remainder of the season, he would have had 900 yards. And you give Hollywood Brown 900 yards, then that's a fine mid-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, his yardage was actually kind of even there in the beginning of the year. I mean, even over the first 6 weeks that we were complaining, that's a 1,000-yard pace. In the first six games. So it was, you know, the touchdowns came his way over the back half, which is helpful.
The reality is it's all about the pie. That's all it is. He can have stretches of brilliance because he's talented and Lamar's talented. But at the end of the day, when there's not that many yards, there's not going to be that many touchdowns, and you can't have fantasy dominance.
Yeah, it makes it tough. Almost like a Deshaun Jackson in his light of sorts. Darren Waller is great every week. 9 for 117 and 1. Chris Herndon.
Herndon.
Week 17, Chris Herndon. Don't care.
I feel like it's Chris Herndon since we laughed at him, Chris Herndon.
Good. Let's laugh at him again.
I
want to
believe
year.
maybe somewhere, someplace. Adam Gase, you know, he heard it and he wanted to get him involved.
He scored in the last 2 weeks, but no, tight end 8, tight end 2. And he has the curse of Mr. B-hole is now broken.
New quarterback, new offense. We'll see what happens next year. Jared Cook scored. Austin Hooper scored. Logan Thomas scored.
I like that Austin Hooper and Logan Thomas, you know, they were the tight end 5, tight end 6. Phenomenal. Neither one got to 40 yards.
No.
Welcome to tight end.
This is why I'm going to franchise Travis Kelce. All right, let's talk about some stinkers.
Stinkers of the Week, presented by Odor Eaters.
And we're not going to talk about stinkers for very long because I want to get to the footy nominations. But if let me ask it this way. Is there any performances that stuck out to you in Week 17? Let's start at the quarterback position. The only one that comes to mind to me would have been like Teddy Bridgewater's situation as the starting quarterback in Carolina, because it was a big decline over the second half.
That final week was that was Teddy's chance to say, well, let's finish on a good note. I still am the quarterback for this team, and he imploded again. He got benched, and I don't know if he's starting next year. I know he's the money situation will be tricky for Carolina, but at this point, I think it's doubtful that he will be starting.
What about Cam Newton? What if they bring him into Carolina, huh? All right. Running back performances in Week 17. Anything that stuck out as maybe meaning something more than just a one-week flop?
James Conner's
career as a starting running back may be over.
Yeah, I don't believe he's under contract for next year, so we'll have him through the playoffs, and then he will probably be irrelevant. I think the Gibson-McKissick situation, you saw McKissick really not utilized as a running back anymore. Gibson got almost 20 carries. McKissick got 2 carries, still involved in the passing game. You know, outside of that, it was a bad week from Chris Carson. Kenyon Drake was bad.
Kenyon Drake probably won't be a bell cow anymore.
Well, and that, you know, in this week, Drake and Hopkins were both bad, but that's not really – you don't know what would have happened. Kyler missed the majority of this game, and the backup was, how you say, bad.
The starting quarterback?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just meant in the future, Drake's a free agent as well, and if he doesn't come back to Arizona as the bell cow, I'm not sure he goes anywhere else as the main runner. Might be in a platoon situation again. Wide receivers. Hopkins disappointed. Doesn't really matter. I mean, he had Chris Streveler throwing him the football. He did flip off a referee, so there was that.
How do you feel about Hopkins season long? Because I know
great mostly.
I mean, wide receiver five. I get it, but you have what's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. 7 games outside of the top 36.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel pretty good about the season. 115 receptions, 1,400 yards, just 6 touchdowns. That number is almost sure to rise in future and dealt with some injuries and some problems on offense. So I don't feel too bad. I do imagine Andy Isabella will be there as the slot receiver next year. Fitzgerald probably doesn't come back, is my guess.
Yeah, I think Hopkins is fine. Going forward, he should have more rapport with Kyler, and Kyler hopefully gets better in the passing game.
What was the Tyler Lockett number you said? How many games were you like, I'm glad I played Tyler Lockett?
5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought he was 7. But
yeah, I imagine Hopkins, even in the games where he was, I know the games you're talking about, he was still 7, 8 targets, 12, 10 targets in those games, and I'm just telling you how I feel about him. He's one of the few wide receivers that you just know is going to demand a certain amount of targets in the locker room, so I like that. But not a great end of the year for the Cardinals overall.
No. Another stinker, Calvin Ridley, thought he would have a great game with Rulio 11. But, he got 52 yards.
Yeah. Not good. He did have 12 targets, 8 for 52, and a fumble. That doesn't get it done.
The Jair Alexander effect is very real, and that should be something we pay close attention to in future because, I mean, Allen Robinson didn't do anything against Green Bay. A.J. Brown struggled against them. The week before, you had issues. So with Robbie Anderson, I believe. But once again, I mean, Robinson had a bad week. We'll see where he is next year as well. Mm-hmm. Cowboys wide receivers did not deliver.
Yeah, I mean, it's an Andy Dalton problem there. The Giants played good defense, as they really did the whole second half of the year. And if you heard Jerry Jones talking about, hey, I'd love to have Andy back, but Andy knows this is Dak's team. And obviously, Dak's not under a contract, but that's their priority. It's Dak's team. They're going to end up spending a lot of money to get Dak back, I think, and not worried about any of those guys going forward.
Andrews, Gronkowski, Hockenson, Irv Smith, Zach Ertz, Ingram, Fant, Gesicki, all disappointed. They all play tight end.
Exactly.
Stinkers of the Week presented by Odor Eaters. Odor Eaters, the best in foot odor defense. You guys ready for it?
Yes.
It's time for the footy nominations for the 2020 season. Here.
Yeah, give me the music.
There you go. footyawards.com. Go to footyawards.com and vote before Thursday.
You ain't smiling right now.
Jason and Mike are dancing, bobbing, bouncing, really. Oh, it just never stops. footyawards.com.
Go again.
Yeah, thank you for the fade there, Al. Let's go through the nominations for this year. This will be a lot of fun. Performance of the Year is the first category. Which single week performance was the most impressive on the year?
Look, some of these awards, you know it's going to be a close contest, and anyone in the category can win. But to be fair to the other players who had really good games, we also threw them in here. But Alvin Kamara, week 16 happened where he had 22 carries, 155 yards, 55, and 6 rushing touchdowns
in the
championship. Is that more than the Dalvin Cook week 8, 3 rushing touchdowns?
That is. And Jason is correct. In championship weekend, your boy came through with 6 rushing touchdowns.
Here's the problem with that, though, is that your boy stunk the week prior, and so many people who had Alvin Kamara were watching their championship game going,
All right.
If he didn't stink last week, I would have had this, but it was irrelevant. Obviously, if you got to the championship with Alvin Kamara, you probably won. It was one of the best performances of the year, but you had plenty of other good ones. Tyler Lockett. He had a performance that was so good this year, it makes his season long look good.
Yeah, 20 targets.
15 for 203. That was week 7. Week 12, Tyreek Hill, 15 targets. Oh, man, I forgot about this game. Oh, man, 13 for 269 and 3. Didn't he had the touchdowns, weren't they all in the first quarter?
Yeah, it was like a insane pace after that first quarter.
And then Darren Waller with the big boy tight end game of the week, or of the season, week 13 at the Jets, 17 targets, 13, 200 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Last year's winner was Lamar Jackson's week 15 game, in which he had 212 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, and 86 rushing yards.
See, mm-hmm. I wonder if we shouldn't have had, for the first time ever, a stack attack. If it shouldn't have been the Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs stack in week 16. That got a lot of people championships.
That's yeah, that true. Was spectacular. All right, the second category.
Take it up with the commission, Jason.
Okay.
Fantasy Reapers Man of the Year. Which player's painful injury hurt fantasy managers the most? Last year it was James Conner. This year's nominees, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Michael Thomas. Kenny Golladay. Oh, man, we never got to play that Smooth Moves song this year.
It was kind of screechy.
And Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon injury ran all the way through the end of the year. Golladay and Mixon did their best job of like making fantasy players think they were eventually coming back and never did.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey did that a little bit too.
Yes, he did. So those are the nominees for the Fantasy Reapers Man of the Year. Mike, why don't you take this next one?
The next award, the next category, is the Poopiest Pants Award. Despite high expectations, this player let fantasy managers down over and over again. Ezekiel
Number
Elliott.
Two.
Thank you. Ezekiel Elliott drafted at the 103. He was the running back 3. Granted, the two guys ahead of him got hurt and missed basically the entire year, but Zeke was there, just not giving you any points. Chris Godwin was drafted at the back of the 2nd. Le'Veon Bell, remember when he was on the Jets and he was drafted at the back of the 3rd
round? Oh, yeah, he was a high draft pick. You don't remember that.
On purpose.
Juju Smith-Schuster, the back of the 3rd round, the wide receiver 13. Mark Ingram, goodness gracious, was the running back 23. And then Zach Ertz, Mr. Clean, coming in at the tight end 4, drafted in the 5th round.
A real Mike Wright favorite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wait.
I know who you're voting for.
How much clout does my vote carry?
Odell Beckham was last year's winner, by the way.
Yeah, your vote carries 1, but your opinion here probably carries more other people to vote with you.
Number 4. Vote for Zach Ertz, everybody.
All right, the waiver wire wonder. Which undrafted waiver wire stud was the best signing of the 2020 season? Was it James Robinson, who you got in week 1? Miles Gaskin? Justin Jefferson, rookie sensation, who broke the rookie receiving yardage record this season, despite really not even being involved in those first couple of weeks. You have the other rookie wide receivers, T. Higgins, Chase Claypool. And then, of course, Justin Herbert and Robert Tonyan.
This one's going to be interesting. I
think this is a runaway.
For Jefferson?
No, so maybe it's not. I think it's a runaway for James Robinson. You got him in week 1, and you got a top 5 running back the whole season.
We're not supposed to sway the vote, Jason.
Except for Zach Ertz.
I was listening to the Zach Ertz, billing.
Devontae Parker won it last year. Devontae Parker was the big waiver wire wonder last year.
That was awesome.
Wide receiver of the year. So we ask you to factor in draft position, big game performances, impact your fantasy team. This year's nominees, last year was Michael Thomas. This year, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Calvin Ridley, DK Metcalf, DeAndre Hopkins, and Justin Jefferson. And I think that one is a little bit more competitive than first glance, too, even with Devontae Adams sitting there. You have to factor in all of those things, the week winning performances, the draft position. I think there are some good nominees there.
Yeah, it's not just who is the best. It's who is the best for what you got, how you got the points, and where you drafted them. I like that.
The fantasy running back of the year, same criteria, everyone. And look, the footies are
prestigious.
They're prestigious. These awards mean a lot to these athletes.
Yes.
Please be thoughtful in your voting. Like when you vote for Zach Ertz for the
right
for the poopiest pants award. But anyway, so the running back of the year, we got Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, James Robinson. Ooh, James Robinson's back. Aaron Jones and David Montgomery, my opportunity, Mr. Second Half himself.
Yeah, and I think this next category will be rather easy.
I think we need to rename this category.
I agree. This is the fantasy Travis Kelce of the year.
You know, it isn't, though, because look who won last year.
Last year's winner,
I mean,
was,
last year's
Mark
winner
Andrews.
Was Mark Andrews.
Yes, but
how did that happen?
Well,
he
was a
very
late
valuable.
Round, he was a late round draft
so late.
Pick.
Yeah, okay.
That popped, and he was, you know, a favorite from our pre-draft season last year. There were a lot of Folk Clan members who rode Mark Andrews to a title. Tight end of the year, you got Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, Robert Tonyan. Those three guys, obviously, you had to pay more to get Kelce. So if you want to go with Goo Goo Gajube or the waiver wire sensation, it's your choice.
T.D. Tonyan.
T.D. Tonyan.
FootyAwards.com to vote. The quarterback of the year nominees, last year Lamar Jackson ran away with it, and a lot of awards, actually. This year's nominees, Kyler Murray. I think those first 10 weeks, he was the most consistent fantasy quarterback. Josh mm-hmm. Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers' return,
man,
and Justin mm-hmm. Herbert. Justin Herbert, who was an absolute beast off the waiver wire for part of the year.
This is easily the most difficult for me. Like, I look at each category and I go, yeah, I think I'm going to land here, either for personal reasons or just... But on this one, I don't know which one I would vote for yet.
All right, the breakout player of the year.
Okay, last year, Lamar.
Last year was Lamar Jackson. Last year, Lamar Jackson won a lot of awards.
Swept him.
He won a lot of hashtag Foot Clan titles for people as well. But this year's nominees, Calvin Ridley, DK Metcalf, Will Fuller, or David Montgomery.
Okay.
It's concise, all four very deserving.
Yeah, there's no rookies in there because there's a bunch of rookies that broke out, but they're not in there. They're in the rookie of the year category, which is...
That's right.
Which is up next.
Right here. Last year's winner was A.J. Brown. There are some great ones. James Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, Antonio Gibson at running back. You have Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, man. Chase Claypool, and T. Higgins at wide receiver. And then Justin Herbert, who was a league winner for a lot of people.
From what I understand, Jonathan Taylor's performance in Week 17 was directly about the Footy Award. He was concerned about his vote count, and he went out and said, look, consider me.
Yeah, and people hopefully paid attention in Week 17, because otherwise it was irrelevant.
Comeback player of the year. Last year was Ryan Tannehill, the big season. Which fantasy player amazed you in their return to relevance? This year's nominees, Corey Davis, doing his best Devontae Parker.
Did he return?
We did debate that on the nominee.
Was he relevant?
He was thought to be great, and he disappointed, but now he came back to what we thought, more so than what
That's
he
the
did.
Best we've got for you, Mike.
I mean, I totally get it. Yeah, that's a tough call, but all right. Okay,
Rob Gronkowski's one. He had a big year. Jimmy Graham, okay.
No, oh, come on. Boo.
Alex Smith.
Okay.
Alex Smith is an honorary.
His category's rough.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, you want to do steal of the draft?
The steal of the draft. Which player was the absolute best value in the 2020 draft compared to their ADP? Hey, guess who won last year? Lamar Jackson. So this year we got Calvin Ridley, who was drafted as the wide receiver 14. DK Metcalf was drafted as the wide receiver 19. Antonio Gibson, apparently when it was all said and done, he was being drafted as the running back 26, or you drafted him when I told you to, and he was like the running back 40-something. David Montgomery, the running back 28. Stephon Diggs, the wide receiver 27. Will Fuller, wide receiver 28. Josh Allen, left for dead all the way back at quarterback 8. And then Aaron Rodgers truly left off. Like, Aaron Rodgers went undrafted in many leagues, but his ADP was the quarterback 11.
That's another tough category. There's like three guys really want to win that award. Now, the toughest and most important category of all footy awards is, of course, the nickname of the year, which last year went to Darren I Am the Walrus.
Yes, Goo Goo Gajuba. And what's tough about this is...
Oh, come on.
I know.
I was slow in the delivery. I gave time. I built it up. And then we had to wait for the drop.
He was peeling a Slim Jim. He was not available.
The thing about this is if you're a player for your performance, you can get into wide receiver of the year multiple years. But you're only allowed to be in nickname of the year your name is birthed.
That's
when it
right.
is forged in the fiery pits of our psyches.
Or in the deep waters of P. River. The first nickname of the year, P. River for Philip Rivers.
Deep waters.
You have Big Herb for Justin Herbert. Hunter Henry for yes. Hunter Henry. That's super clever.
I see. I could make the correlation.
You see how we got there, right? Drew Locke was Mr. Irresponsible.
Yeah.
You also have
Bruce. That's something he will be forever, though, just yes. to be clear.
Bruce Wayne Gallman.
Oh, T.Y. Man, you see that butt recovery?
Oh, no. That was so... He laid an egg. He literally laid an egg on the... I mean, that fumble almost cost him their entire season, which, of course, didn't matter. But he basically fumbled, and then he did the splits on the ball. It was just
not
a flattering moment.
I don't know how that's a recovery.
I do not recommend doing the splits on the ball, but that's Bruce Wayne.
T.Y. Houston?
Yep, T.Y. Houston for Hilton. You had the gas man, Miles Gaskin. Yeah. Derek Yeti, the transformation happened in week 17. The flying V for Will Fuller V. Jimmy Grandpa.
The fifth.
Yes. And if you're chilling like a villain with AJ Villain. Chilling like a villain.
You're just trying to sway the vote.
Mike, you got this next one.
Oh, Ayukin.
There you go for Brandon Ayuk. And, of course, maybe my favorite. My favorite, Matt Rule, a.k.a. Ja Rule.
Murder.
So dumb.
There's more nicknames than I thought there was.
It's a long year.
And we do have a Fantasy Footballers Moment of the Year, our final category. Which moment from the show is your favorite from 2020? Last year's winner was Jason's crushed soul, the Philip Rivers interception playoff candy-coated shell with nothing inside.
At least we got back at him with his nickname this year. It makes me feel a lot better about that moment.
Yeah, P. River really brought him down a peg. Here we go with the moments of the year. We have the smelling salts when those made their debut on the show. That was fun. You got Big Shimmy.
Oh, Big Shimmy.
Big Shimmy. You got the slide whistle. Jason brought the slide whistle nobody knew about to the office. Can't say that about every job you have. Yes. We had the great Gorbalash.
Mr. Gorbalash.
Oh, that was
fun. Tear down this wall.
You had the very frequent DeAndre Hopkins trade celebrations. Thank you, Bill O'Brien. That was your final act as the head coach. Jason getting dunked on with the Jordan Reed signing in waivers, which was very funny.
That was amazing.
The wives' surprise when we were all blown away to have our wives show up on episode 1000. You had Little Bit Rain, which I don't even remember where it came from.
Oh, that was, it's football time show. And then I filled in the second part of the lyrics with, I was going to talk about the weather. And then I didn't have enough syllables to fit it in. So Little Bit, it was going to be a little bit of rain, but I ran out and didn't think it through. So it was Little Bit Rain. And apparently people enjoyed that very much that it there was enough requests that it made the list for the finals.
You had Jason's Robert Tunyon pronunciation.
Mm.
You had Brooks's wealth being mentioned frequently, which most wealthy people don't like, but he actually loves. You had J.D. McKissick's Give Me a Kiss drop, which, oh, great.
Yeah, okay.
Better
you,
to be ready.
You missed one, though, Andy. You missed, yoo-hoo!
Oh,
yoo-hoo!
The hamstring voice. Thank you.
Yoo-hoo! Big summer blowout. Big hamstring blowout.
And our final big moment was the Chris Herndon impromptu laugh that came out of nowhere. And then he managed to say, hey, I'm still here.
Yeah. He got the last laugh. Good for you, Chris.
All right. Footyawards.com. Go and vote. We'll have our official award ceremony on Thursday. It will be just the most elegant, dignified celebration. We are professionals. You guys know this from listening year after year.
There are so many so many A-list celebrities trying to get in to the awards show. I'm not sure how many we can fit on the set, so you'll have to tune in and find out.
Al Borland is already working on the hors d'oeuvres, so let's just look forward to Thursday. Otherwise, go ahead, Mike.
I'll say I cannot confirm nor deny. I cannot confirm nor deny, but there's talks that Tom Hanks is showing up at Jason's house
for the ceremony. And Celine Dion is opening with the national anthem, right?
I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that yet, but rumors for sure.
Okay. She's busy, but not too busy for something like this.
It's her or no national anthem.
That's what we say.
Celine or bust.
Celine or bust. That is that's been our policy for the last 5 years with the Footy Awards.
That's right. That's
been
why
all
we have
bust
not
so
yet
far.
Had a national anthem.
But it's possible this year. All right. Before we say goodbye, we want to thank Pristine Auction for a wonderful season. And listen, we're going to mix this up a little bit. I'm going to let you know what's on pristineauction.com right this minute, being auctioned off right now. A Deshaun Watson signed full-size, authentic on-field helmet. The current auction price is $73 right now. It ends on Thursday. A Saquon Barkley signed jersey. $84 right now. The auction ends on Thursday. Jared Goff signed full-size helmet. It's at $81 right now. Again, Thursday at 10 p.m. it ends. Hundreds of daily auctions. Check them out.
His thumb?
His thumb. No, they didn't remove it, Mike. They fixed it.
Oh.
They didn't. They don't remove them very often these days. Pristine, that was old school. Back in the 40s, they took the thumbs right off.
Just rip it off.
They just ripped them. And the four-finger quarterbacks were a big thing back then. Pristineauction.com. Use the code BALLERS to get a 10... dollar credit. Jason's trying to throw
trying
the
to
football
throw
without a thumb.
Without an opposing digit.
It's more
you
difficult.
You got to scoop and toss.
That's right.
You throw it like a
hook shot.
All right. That'll do it for today's show. Roger, thank you guys for listening.
Block this.
Supporting. The footies. So excited. Have a wonderful couple of days. Big award ceremony Thursday. See you then.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.